morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning. We'll begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord, you are a God of mercy and great blessing. In your love, you have redeemed our souls and have given us the gift of eternal life. Be with us, O Lord, in the midst of the struggles and sufferings of this life. Comfort us with your promises. Guide us by your word today, and bless us with the certainty of your presence as we worship you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 664. Rise. We'll follow the order of service that is printed for you in your service bulletin. If you'd like to see the musical notation, our service today is taken from the TAN Worship Supplement, beginning on page 12. Otherwise, everything is found for you in the bulletin today. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and have deserved only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give us the strength to live according to his will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth, we sing, we worship you. To you our hearts we raise, Lord God Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right hand in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify.
We pray. O God, we pray that you would so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be always mindful of your final judgment and be stirred up to live godly lives here and dwell with you in perfect joy hereafter in heaven. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this morning is taken from Romans chapter 6. We'll read verses 12 through 23. These verses come in the chapter just before our sermon text. Paul gives us some good news here in this verse, that the war between our sinful flesh and our new man has been won by Jesus, that we are no longer slaves to sin, that through Christ, his death and resurrection, we have the power to say no to sin. We'll be touching on these topics more in our sermon text for today. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our gospel reading for this morning is from Matthew chapter 11. We'll read verses 25 through 30. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Jesus' words here are comforting and give us peace in the midst of our struggle with our sinful flesh, because he says that we can come to him and he will give us rest, true rest for our souls. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on page 4 in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 665. Please rise. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has freed us and made us slaves to God and to righteousness, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans. This time we'll read from chapter 7. We'll read verses 15 through the first half of verse 25. This is the Apostle Paul writing, and he says, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I don't want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man that I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. A few years ago, I had the privilege of attending a musical stage performance of Jekyll and Hyde. It's a play that's based on the famous Robert Louis Stevenson story, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You're probably familiar with this story. It's been around for a long time, but I'll give you a short summary of this musical just in case you don't know it. In this story, a man named Dr. Henry Jekyll was experimenting with separating the two distinct sides of mankind, the good side and the evil side. He believed that if he could just separate the two, he could liberate mankind from its evil side. In his experiments, he succeeded in making a potion that he supposed would do the trick. But when he drank it, he transformed instead into Mr. Edward Hyde. He transformed fully into his evil side, and he began to commit horrendous crimes. When he discontinued using the drug, it was already too late. Dr. Jekyll began to become uncontrollable. He began to transform into Dr. Jekyll and he wasn't, or into Mr. Hyde, I'm sorry, and he wasn't able to stop himself from doing it. In one of the most memorable scenes in this particular musical, near the end, the actor who played both Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde does a terrific job in his last song of transforming back and forth in between Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde during the song. And as he's singing, about the battle between his good side and his evil side. Doesn't that sound a little bit about like our text for today? A similar battle that we read about between good and evil, an internal battle between our good side and our bad side. Was the Apostle Paul, who is the writer of our text, was he some sort of mad scientist who had concocted some sort of potion that was uncontrollably changing him from an evil creature back into a good creature, turning him into a monster at various times in his life that he could not contain or control? Perhaps Paul was afflicted with some sort of split personality disorder. Well, no, he wasn't. The Apostle Paul was just like you and me. And that is the scary part. Because these words from Romans chapter 7 are some of the easiest to relate to in the whole Bible. You don't need a whole lot of theological explanation to figure out what Paul is saying here, or what exactly does Paul mean, because we probably read through this and say, yep, that's me. That's me on a Tuesday, or that's me on a Wednesday. That's me most days of my life. Listen again to what Paul says. He says, "For what I do is not the good I want to do. The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Who hasn't experienced that struggle? It's not that we don't know what is the right thing to do. It's putting it into practice and actually doing it. So this monster that lives inside each one of us that our new man of faith must do battle with every day is, of course, the monster of our sinful flesh. Paul says in our text, "As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Well, the bad news is there is no potion that we can take that would be able to separate our evil side, our sinful flesh, from our new man. We'll never be able to split ourselves into two and escape our sinful nature, at least not in this life. And that can be a very frightening and a very frustrating thing, as is evidenced by Paul's words and as is evidenced in our own lives. As Christians, we want to please the Lord. We desperately want to do what he tells us to do. We don't want to fall into the same spiritual traps over and over again. Frustration and maybe even despair can creep into our lives as we see ourselves falling into the same sins over and over again. We seem to be gaining some ground and gaining some momentum in our Christian life and our Christian walk, only to slide back into those same frustrating and hurtful sins that we always seem to commit. That movie or TV show that we really know we shouldn't have watched, we've watched another episode. That explicit website that we told ourselves we would never look at again, we've logged back in. Our temper that we said, "I'm going to get this under control. I'm no longer going to yell at my spouse or my children or lose my temper with people that I love and care about," we've let it fly off the handle again. "I am not going to max out another credit card," and yet we go and we spend more and more money. Whatever the habit is that you have that you want to break, whatever pet sin that you can't seem to shake, it can be frustrating and even bring us to the point of despair. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "No man knows how bad he is until he tries to be good." It's very true, isn't it? No man knows how bad he is until he tries to be good. In a similar way, Martin Luther famously said that the Christian is both saint and sinner at the same time. That frustrating duality is what we have to deal with in our everyday lives. The Apostle Paul was proof of it. And so are we. Ironically, that struggle and that frustration is a good sign. It's a good sign if you feel the same struggle and same frustration that the Apostle Paul felt. Why? Well, if you don't feel like it's a struggle to walk with God, or if you don't feel a week-to-week, day-to-day frustration in your life of sanctification, then there probably is a problem. That means that your new man is not putting up much of a struggle against your sinful flesh and just letting the sinful flesh do whatever it wants. That leads us to the good news. The good news is that, like Paul, we all have the antidote for the monster that lives inside each one of us. In the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Dr. Jekyll will drink a potion that transforms him from Mr. Hyde back into his usual self as Dr. Jekyll. Now, there is no actual potion that we can drink that will chemically or magically transform us into our new man and magically get rid of our sinful nature. But there is an antidote that frees us from the chains of our sinful nature and the slavery to that monster of our sinfulness. Paul rejoices in the last verse of our text for the cure that he found in Jesus. He cries out in lament, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" He says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is where that antidote is found. It is true that while we're still alive on this earth, we will always have that sinful flesh clinging to us, battling us, struggling against our new man that God's Spirit has created inside of us through faith. But in this very same letter to the Romans, Paul reminds us that this sinful flesh of ours does not need to frighten us or harm us any longer because of that antidote that we have in Jesus Christ. First of all, because of Jesus' death and his resurrection, he has freed us from the terror of our sins, the terror of eternal death that waits for us because of our sins. That's been taken away. Jesus earned our forgiveness and our salvation for us. If you go one more verse in Romans, into verse 1 of chapter 8, you'll hear Paul say this. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." No condemnation. Not for those sins that we keep falling into, those bad habits, the losing of our temper, or those sins that we're so ashamed of. There is no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. And secondly, because of Jesus' death on the cross, because of his resurrection, we're not only freed from sin by his forgiveness, but we're freed from sin and its power over us. And the power that guilt and shame can place on us, that heavy burden that we cannot shake ourselves. Jesus has taken that away by his cross and his resurrection. If we turn back again to chapter 6 of Romans, we'll read about this. We read about it in our scripture reading for today. We'll read some selected verses from Romans chapter 6. "If we have been united with Jesus in like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self, our sinful nature, was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Maybe the monster of your sinful flesh has been terrorizing you this week. Maybe it's terrorizing you right now as you come to the worship service today. Maybe it's been frustrating you, wearing you down, causing you to fear, or leading you to despair, or just making you want to give up. Making you think to yourself, "I am just so tired of trying. I'm so tired of fighting, and I'm so tired of failing." We've probably all been there before. Even the Apostle Paul had been there. As we mentioned in Bible class, the Apostle Paul, the one whom God inspired to write nearly half the New Testament, he felt that same struggle. He was no different than you or me. But maybe then it's time to stop fighting with that monster of our sinful nature and to start trusting. Trusting Jesus. Trusting what Paul trusted, what Paul knew. The conclusion that Paul came to was this: I cannot defeat this monster of my sinful nature, but Jesus can. I will never win this battle against myself, but Jesus has. I will not rely on my own perfection or my own ability to do what God tells me to do, but I will rely instead completely and totally on the work of Jesus, who did keep it perfectly, who never lost that battle with the monster of a sinful flesh because he simply did not have one. Jesus can pull you out of that despair. He can pull you out of that ditch. He's pulled you out of a worse ditch before. He pulled you out of the ditch of death itself, of hell itself, when he paid for your sins on the cross. By that death, he's also given you power over sin. So we can depend on him completely, or we can depend on ourselves. The result is either going to be complete freedom or complete frustration. The story of Jekyll and Hyde does not have a happy ending. I don't want to spoil this for anyone, but it does not have a happy ending. In the end, Dr. Jekyll eventually kills himself in his laboratory in this desperate attempt to keep that monster from ever hurting anyone else again, not letting Mr. Hyde out, emerging to do any more harm. Not a happy ending at all. But because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, we can look forward with confidence and joyful hope that our end is not going to be a tragic one. It's not going to end in despair in which we are overcome by the monster of our sinful nature. But rather, our last day, the day of our death, the day our sinful nature will be put to rest, will be the greatest day of our lives. The day that we will be forever with Jesus, in a day that we will be transformed. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's how your story will end. That's how my story will end. Victorious, happy, forever, with Him. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, uphold with your Spirit free.
You may be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 611. Thank you. Please rise. We offer prayers of thanksgiving this morning to our Savior for bringing safely here our new teacher, Rebecca Lillo, and her son, Jacob. We also thank the Lord for bringing safely our Traveling Vacation Bible School team. They're sitting in the back this morning. We thank the Lord for their arrival, and also we will pray for the Lord's blessings upon our VBS week this week. Any other prayer requests for this morning? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, we're so grateful and thankful for your many blessings. We thank you for bringing safely into our midst our new teacher, Rebecca Lillo, and her son, Jacob. We ask you to bless her time here, bless her preparations for her school year, and give her the wisdom and ability to teach your young lambs your word and all the subjects she's been called to teach. We also thank you, Lord, for the blessing of the Traveling Vacation Bible School team that is here with us this week. We pray that you would bring us many students to share your word with. Give them the ability and the desire to teach your word faithfully to the young children who are entrusted to them. Keep us safe during the week and help us to be lights in this dark world. Dear Heavenly Father, we must confess that we often have failed in fighting the good fight of faith. We often failed in our preparation and failed to make your love for us the motivating force in our lives. We've often neglected your word by which you make our faith live and grow. We've not carried out at all times the good intentions of our new man and instead have obeyed the evil desires of our flesh. But even though we have often sinned against you, nevertheless, Lord, you are full of mercy. We pray then that you would forgive our sins and preserve the faith of us, your children, whom you have redeemed at the great cost of the shed blood of your Son. Dear Jesus, precious Savior, we thank you for that sure promise of a crown of life for all who persevere in their trust in you and do not fall before the assaults of the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. Give each one of us the gift of your Holy Spirit, that he may strengthen us and arm us to do battle with those evil forces and to win. May we neither lose our faith nor our eternal salvation. Rescue any who are in the grip of Satan, Lord, and release those who have sold themselves to sin. Restore those who are fallen, reclaim the erring, preserve, comfort, and build up your church. Cause each one of us to grow in wisdom, in faith, and in righteousness through your word until we finally lay hold on eternal life. All this we ask in your name, dear Savior, as we pray now in your name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We close our service with hymn 704.
Thank you.
seated. Good morning. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us this morning. We hope that you will come and worship our Savior with us again soon, and pray that your time with us is blessed. For the announcements for this week, we have a few special ones, so please pay close attention. There are several. Today we'll have our teachers' meeting for our Vacation Bible School. We'll have that tonight at 6 p.m. We'll meet here back at the church. This week we have our Vacation Bible School from Monday through Friday. It will be from 9 a.m. to 11:30. We still have room for more children, so if you know of anyone who would like to join us, please direct them to our website to register, or just have them give me a call and we can get them signed up really quickly. Next Sunday, a very important Sunday next week, we will be having a joint worship service for our church picnic and also the installation of our new teacher, Rebecca Lillo. The schedule will be as follows. We'll have a Bible class at 9 a.m., followed by a worship service, and we'll be inviting East Bay to join us for that at 10 a.m. We'll have the installation of Rebecca during that service. And then we'll have our church picnic following the service and a welcome meal for Rebecca at 11 a.m. A reminder also that we'll be taking our some congregational photos after the service for the spokesman article upcoming this fall. So please come ready to smile and get your picture taken after church. And someone please remind me to do that next week, because we are going to be in trouble if we don't. We'll be photoshopping in all kinds of people if we don't do it next week. Or you're going to look like you did from 10 years ago or the last time we had a congregational picture, which might not be a bad thing either. We do welcome our new TVBS teachers and also our teacher. We're going to introduce them this morning before we go any further. Well, first of all, those of you probably, most of you probably do know Rebecca, but Rebecca Lillo is our new teacher. If you'd please stand and greet the congregation with a wave. Her son Jacob is also with us. He is going to be a seventh grader, and he'll be in our school here at St. Stephen, so we're happy for that. I'm not sure if he's happy that he gets to be in my confirmation class, but you get what you get, so thank you. And then our Traveling Vacation Bible School teachers are here. We have two high schoolers, a brother and sister. Grace Meyer, please stand up. And then Timothy Meyer, and they're from Bismarck, North Dakota. And then Zachary Sippert, he's a college student from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So please welcome them and introduce yourselves to them after the service today. And please be encouraging to them as they prepare to teach the students this week. Please have a seat. We do have that article I mentioned coming up soon. It's due August 1st. If you have any digital pictures from various congregational events or significant pictures from our church's history, please send them my way, email them to me. Any historical documents or things that need to be included in the article, please let me know this week. I plan on finishing that article next Monday and sending it in on the 31st of July. Many of you know Pastor and Elizabeth Karp. They have moved to Oregon, and they put a note to the congregation in East Bay, and I was reminded that it might be good to include in our bulletin here. For those of you who know them, Pastor Karp served here a number of times and served during the vacancies, so you can get a little update on their life in the back page of the bulletin as well. There are sign-up sheets for... Our snacks are covered for this week, but there are a few spots open for lunch. If you'd like to help provide lunch for our VBS staff, please sign the sheet in the back. There are also sign-up sheets for the church picnic next week, a few items that need to be supplied. So if you would please sign that. If you have any questions, speak with Ida. She will be able to answer your questions. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.